Welcome, fellow Last Placers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on today's episode, we are going to be discussing Andor episode 11. As always, guys, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you guys don't want to hear any of the spoilers, please go ahead and pause this and then come on back and then listen to what my thoughts were on this episode. This one's going to be pretty much a shorter one just because this is the episode before the season finale, and I don't feel like there was much to really explain. It was a pretty straightforward episode. Nothing really intense or like story driven or anything like that really happened. It kind of set up where we're going to end everything off. But again, I love doing these for you guys. So, and I love talking about them and then hearing what people have to say about it too. So of course I am going to do this episode. And as always, if you guys don't mind, take the time to like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It does help out with the algorithms. And thank you for all the support that you guys have been giving me anyway. I really do appreciate it. So episode 11, we pretty much leave off with, and we know about the escape, everyone doing the escape. And we know Cassian is still on Narkina 5, trying to figure out where he's going to go next. I love what we started with this episode, where basically they're basically in a delusional state, right? Him and Melshi are in basically a delusional state. They've escaped. They didn't make it pretty clear about how much time has passed, which again, I like when shows do that. I prefer when shows let us know how much time has passed just so we can not have to take the guessing work out, or at least give us, you know, a time frame of like, this is X amount of days since the prison break. I wish they would have done that somewhere throughout the episode just to give us a clarity. But we know that they've been traveling, they've been swimming, they've been doing all these things, and they probably have limited food and water. So you're going to be in a delusional state at this point, which is what they were in, which is why Cassian kept ensuring him, like, they're leaving, like, we can go, like, they're leaving. Like, and he's like, are you sure? It's like, I can't feel anything. So they're in this state of delusion almost, because they've been on the run for so long, or we think is pretty long, or at least we're given the impression that it's been a pretty long time, and that they are, you know, on the way trying to, you know, finish this escape and get off of the planet in general. We see that they end up going by a beach, and they end up seeing some, I believe the locals, which are Narkininians, I want to say, that's how you would pronounce it. I believe if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, but they're basically, they run into them. And I thought the way that they talked, and this, again, I've complimented this show about this whole time. And, again, it's something that I will continue to do every episode until the last episode next week, but expanding the universe, right? Like just giving all of these people, all the aliens, all these different races we encounter and things like that, just different languages, different speech. It makes it feel so Star Wars, but it also just makes the world feel so much bigger, right? The galaxy feels big because we're running into these different races, and these different races all like have different personalities, right? Like different races and species, and everyone has like, you know, a particular way of talking, a particular culture. We've already seen about two, like, you know, different cultures and, you know, races inside of this, you know, this show itself, like not to mention like the ones that are like, you know, side characters and stuff like that. But you can see how much that makes this world more expansive just by doing little things like this. Right. So they run into them. They're trying to take their ship. They end up getting caught. And after they get caught, basically they have this whole conversation, and, you know, they are pretty much realize what their plan was going to be. But again, being in that state of delusion and wanting to get out and feeling like, you know, they had a leg up on them, and just to come to find out that they didn't, it was a pretty, sorry about that. But yeah, it was a pretty good scene of them just having that conversation, saying like, you guys really thought you could get us, but then, thinking that they were going to be stuck there, right, this whole time, and then them actually, the Narnakinians actually, I hope I'm saying that right, but actually letting them out and being like, you know, oh, well, you know, that prison kind of like messed up our fishing and all that stuff. So, you know what, who cares if one of you guys were able to get out, like, we don't care. We're going to free you guys. Like, what, where are you guys wanting to head? And we, and then Cassian lets him know the location that he actually got picked up from. They're going to head back there. So that pretty much, you know, there was actually not much Cassian in this episode. And again, by design, we saw him in the beginning and the end of these episodes, just because, again, you do have to build these other characters, and we do have other story points. And we already know that this show is going to be there's a season two for this show. So, of course, building out other characters are going to be one of the main goals for this show, because you want, we already know about Cassian because we've had prior experiences with him. So, well, prior, future, whatever you want to call it, but you know what I mean? Basically. So we also find out, back on Ferrix, that, Cassian's mother, Marva, has passed. We see how that starts to set motion on different plans, right? And again, we knew Marva was sick. We knew that she was going through a lot. We've seen the, you know, the people were coming to clean the house. We did see the droid, you know, B2. He's like really sad that Marva's passed, and he knows that he wants Marva. And it's always nice to see that the droid's showing emotions, or like, even it's such a nice camera trick, because again, these droids don't have facial expressions, right? Like, they don't have facial expressions, and you can't tell how they're feeling. So you have to shoot these angles and shoot these camera angles in a certain way so that we can feel what they're feeling, right? So that we can feel this feeling of hurt from a robot, essentially, who can't make any facial features, which is so cool to me, because even in that scene, in that little scene where he's just like, you know, he's like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I want, you know, Marva, like, you know, like, I want my mother, essentially, is how, you know, he's speaking. And it's just cool that it's able to be portrayed that way, right? It feels that way, even though we know that this character and we know that this droid cannot show any physical emotions, but because the lightings were dim, because of the way that he was reacting, like just standing, it felt like he was just moping around inside of, you know, Marva's house, because he feels like, you know, his mother had passed, even though, like, you know, he's just a droid. So I thought that scene itself was really cool, just to show like the complexity of the droids, even though they're these, you know, supposed to be these lifeless or these lifeless or emotionless things, and they're not, you know. And it's just nice to see, because we've seen it throughout the whole Star Wars universe on how they're able to portray these non-facial featured robots and things like that to be able to display some emotion. So I thought that was really cool. They go into basically what's going to happen to Marva, just, you know, how everything is, you know, they're cleaning the house and how it's not safe to be there anymore, and things like that. So basically they're trying to get everyone out. They want to keep, obviously, B does have information, so keeping B there wouldn't be the most ideal thing, even though he doesn't want to go at all. They're trying to find a way to, you know, have him leave and, you know, be able to cope with what's going on. We also see that Senta is outside. Senta is there kind of relaying, gaining that information, seeing that Marva's dead. And obviously that's going to be a big piece of information. And we know why that's going to be a big piece of information, because obviously someone's going to try to get word out to Cassian. And it's crazy how all of these events work, right? Because let's say they didn't plan out that breakout or things like that. Like, there would have been no way that you could have gotten Cassian to, you know, able to find out, right? There was going to be no way. It's just crazy how everything aligned enough so that it could work out, so that he was out of the prison. Then this happened, so that, you know, later on in the episode, he does find out what happens. But before we get into that, anyway, we just, you know, that happened. We see how this is starting to, you know, start the emotions and everything like that. They also want to do like a Ferrix tradition where they make her into a brick. And we find that out when we're getting all of that information told to Deidre. And Deidre is basically telling them, like, you know, she's hearing from the words from back there from Ferrix. And they're saying, like, you know, they're going to need a permit and all those things. And she wants them to do all of this stuff so that it could draw Cassian in. right? Because Cassian is going to come back for his mother. He's going to, maybe they can, you know, intercept him on his way there. That's the goal. So normally they wouldn't do all of this stuff because it's under Imperial control and they wouldn't want large groupings and stuff like that. Now they're planning on doing a funeral so that they can draw him in. So, you know, we're playing a chess game. We know that this big thing just happened to this character that they're trying to look for. Now this character is going to make it their way. And then, you know, it just sets up for an explosive season finale. We also have the whole conversation with Val being back, and Val and we have Val. Well, Val has two important conversations here. She has the one with Mon Mothma, basically with finding out about, you know, the religion and everything like that with her niece, and how she's actually wanting to be, you know, wanting to do all that stuff. We see Mon is in a very desperate place, right? Because of the, you know, the information that she got, the, you know, the request basically of trying to get this money in. And then she basically opens up to Val and says, all of this, you know, is happening because, you know, I was able to get all my money out beforehand. Now that, you know, the Empire is getting their teeth, you know, deeper in, they're trying to find out more information. And then basically Tay just found out that she was in more trouble than she really thought she was. And it's very crazy, right? Because we see how all of this information is being circled about, and we still see that Lydia, which is Mon's daughter, is basically so disapproval of her mother, like she's kind of ashamed of her, and she sees Val as the cool, like, you know, aunt and or, you know, cool family member, and doesn't feel the same way for her mother, but she doesn't know that her mother is like trying to protect her and stuff like that. And you have, you know, relationships like that, and how painful it's got to be for Mon, because she, you know, obviously cares for her daughter and she wants her to be able to, you know, be herself and all of this stuff. But she also, you know, doesn't want her to be, you know, stuck or tied into any of these situations, or she just wants to be able to try to be a good mother. But it's hard because she's trying to also start a rebellion, right? So it's one of those things where, you know, you can't have both. And even though you're trying to set up the perfect world for your daughter, it ends up, you know, maybe that's not what she wants or the way that she wants it to happen, because, you know, you're not spending any time with her and things like that. So it's a very interesting and complex situation that Mon's in, because it's, you know, do I build a better future for my daughter and sacrifice that present right now, which she's been doing, like, and then still get this treatment just so I know that she's hopefully going to be in a better place. But again, you can't tell. So it's really hard. And it's, you know, especially, I guess, you know, for the parents out there who know what that feeling would be like of trying to, you know, balance out having that time for your children, but also wanting to plan a better future. And Mon is basically getting all of these emotions just in general about everything that's happening, because she's, you know, she's in this, she can't access her family funds because it'll look too suspicious if she's giving out money, right? And then you also have Val, who knows about what happened down at, who am I forgetting the name? Gosh, what, for the heist. She knows basically what happened for the heist, and I'll get to remember the names. It's somewhere in my notes. But, you know, for the Aldani, basically, you know, she knows what happens on Aldani, and because she was part of Aldani, like, she can't tell Mon that, because now that froze everything on. But like, there's so many different things going on that involve so many of the same characters, where it's like a small world. It's just, you're seeing different scenarios of what's happening, right? Because Mon was trying to, you know, do her own thing with Luthen as far as building the rebellion and things like that. And because of the actions that Luthen did anyway to make sure that Aldani worked, it ended up hurting Mon anyway, right? So it's one of those things where it's kind of crazy, because you don't know. Again, you have to be able to take these opportunities when you get a chance. And but she doesn't know that Val was like directly part of that, right? So either way, it's pretty crazy. of just how that relationship is happening. And she's definitely questioning herself about, did she make the right decision for all of this? We also see that Val then pays a visit to Kayla, Clea, I think it's Clea, but she pays a visit to her just to let her know that basically, you know, Cassian is going to go back to Ferrix just because, or the assumption that he's going to go back to Ferrix because his mother just passed and that he wouldn't want to miss the funeral. So he's definitely going to go show up. And we can see that these two characters have an issue with each other, just basically off of, you know, either whether it's to prove to Luthen about, like, you know, who's better or whatever the case may be. There's definitely a tension between those two characters that, you know, I guess we will see that spill out maybe later. Who knows where that's going to go, right? So besides all of that, we just to follow up with one of the characters with, what's his name? With Cyril. Cyril is out there. He basically gets gets information from Linus about the death of Mon. And obviously we all know Cyril's going to want to be a part of that because he's obsessed with catching Cassian, because he feels like without, you know, Cassian was the person who is the reason why he had this downfall in the beginning. So we know he's going to make his way there. And essentially the way that this season finale seems like it's going to be shaping up is that we're going to get all the characters who were involved in this series finally in the same place at the same time, right? Because obviously word's probably going to get out to Luthen, because Luthen just, you know, talked to Saw basically about what's going on and you know, them giving up one of the people just so that, you know, everything else can live on. And he basically wants all that, you know, information, saying, look, I didn't know what was going to happen. This is just Saul came in saying that he accepts the offer. And then now, you know, the way Luthen explained it, saying, look, it's not going to work that way. We have to sacrifice one, maybe 30 men, just so that we can be able to win this long game. So I thought that was a really cool scene between them two. And again, Forrest Whitaker coming back to do some more Star Wars. I'm down for it. I love the way he plays Saw. Just again, having that, like, that raspy voice and just that, you know, shocked, always working rebel kind of thing. I dig it. Even though he's, you know, has that pretty much radical personality, I think it's a good one to shape out for him. And then my favorite part of the episode, we saw some space fighting, which anytime, like, for me, a lot of people, if you guys have watched Rebels or have read any of the books, you guys will know that my favorite character is Thrawn, and we'll see him later. He'll show up in a certain show, but I'm all for Star Wars space battles, and I think it's my favorite part of Star Wars. And I know everyone's like, you know, lightsabers and things like that, but I just love the whole space battles concept. And to get, we got a really high quality space battle in a TV show. And again, I'm happy that these kind of things are now happening in Star Wars, because it just, again, it expands the galaxy, but it also just feels good to know that we can see high quality production, even though they didn't, you know, do any big risk and it wasn't a big fight, but it was good enough to see everything and just how clear everything looked, and that they didn't try to cheat the camera work and or cheat the CGI and stuff like that. They just made it look good. We got a couple of cockpit scenes. It wasn't anything crazy to like go completely over, or like, you know, it was just nice to see a whole fight. We saw like everything happening. We saw a jump into hyperspace with Luthen and all that. And I just thought seeing that on, again, for a TV show was fantastic. Again, this show is shaping out to be probably one of my favorites of the Star Wars, including like Mando. But man, I've just been digging everything about this show, as far as the pacing going, as far as the storytelling, the action scenes. There haven't been many action scenes, but when we get them, they're so worth it, right? Like episode 6 with the eye, where we got the eye and the heist, just a prison break. really was a really good one. And then now we have this scene, and then I can pretty much assure that episode 12, we're probably going to down at Ferrix, we're going to get some amazing scenes down there too. So overall, next week is the season finale, which is unfortunate because I'm really digging this show. I can't wait for season two. I am glad that we are getting a season two, and it's kind of not like in the waters. Also, the show's been getting well received. They're actually going to be putting the first two episodes on like local television, like live television. So you'll be able to see those, which I thought was an interesting move and a interesting way to market the show. That way you watch the first two episodes if you're catching it on TV, and then, you know, you get your subscription, even though they're upping the price for Disney Plus. But overall, I thought that was a really cool way to try to get people in and start watching the show. So I'm down for it all. I can't wait for next week. Chris might be back for next week's season finale, so we'll have that for you guys sometime next week. There's not much other stuff out yet. I may still do a Black Adam review just because I saw it the other day. It was an interesting one. I'll probably do a quick little review. It wasn't anything worth bragging about. But anyway, this is a Star Wars show. I shouldn't be talking about DC stuff. But overall, this episode for me, I really enjoyed it. I cannot wait to see what happens next week when we see everyone probably going to be in Ferrix. So that's going to be a very interesting episode. And just how obviously we're going to end with something not set in stone, just because we know a season two is coming up. But we also know that Cassian shows up in Rogue One, and we kind of know where he was at. But it's going to be interesting to see how they tie that in, or how we start to get. I wouldn't be surprised if we see see another character from Rogue One. Maybe this is the way he gets K2. I would like to see that. Maybe we'll see that in this season finale, maybe showing us how he was able to get a K2 droid and get the character the way that he was. So I think that's the way we end this episode as far as the season finale, but we'll see. We have another season to play with, so overall it should be fine. But that is going to wrap it up for me, guys. Again, thank you for joining me on this. If you guys like the content, please like, share, do all that stuff. It really does help the algorithms and helps our visibility. I am trying to do these as much as possible because, like, again, I do really enjoy speaking about these things for you guys. So I know a lot of people like to hear what I have to say about these. And again, if it's just one person, I don't care. I'll do it for that one person. Overall, I just love talking about this stuff. So until next week for the season finale, guys, I am out. Until next time, Fire Team out.